Hi, I'm Henry Reingott. Today we're going to talk about the Old Testament understanding of the soul, the word nephesh. Before we get to that, I just wanted to reflect upon a couple of interesting things that I've noticed about the soul. It has at its disposal everything that is you. Heart, mind, body, emotions, and strength. The self-aware you are self-aware of itself. It is real and metaphorical. It is relational. It can be lonely, happy, and bitter. It can be ignored, but it will never go away from you. It is interested in some things and not others. It is influenced, but often needs to be convinced. It's fiercely religious. The soul can even worship itself. The soul can be free or in bondage. Wars are fought over the concerns of the soul. Much of the Bible addresses the soul's concerns relating to everyone and everything around you. Philosophy has debated the nature of the soul since Moses. And now it is with Moses writing the first five books of the Bible, Revelation through the Holy Spirit, we see the introduction of the soul. The soul from the Old Testament. And what I'd love you to do is on your own, or stop the video, pause and read Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. At verse 7, we read, Yahweh God, Lord God, formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. Wow. A living, from the word nekale, alive, hence raw, flesh, fresh, like plant water, strong, life, living thing, with appetites, a living word, very biological, used 452 times in the Old Testament. Then nephesh, soul, a breathing creature. That is an animal, vitality, widely used in a literal accommodative sense or a figurative sense, a person, a he or a she. Now we know that in this passage just before, God made man, male and female, he created them. The self-aware self, the her, him, my, thyself, themselves, yourselves, the wanter, sometimes the desirer, appearing 683 times in the Old Testament. So it's the nephesh, the living nephesh. Now we read in Genesis 3, and you might know the story very well. If not, please read Genesis 3 slowly and carefully. But we read that Eve was tempted. And if you notice, the temptation was something about bodily things. The fruit was pleasing to the eyes, the senses, but somehow about spiritual things. The fruit looked pleasing to an autonomous spirit apart from God. You will have the knowledge of good and evil. The fruit desirous for gaining knowledge and being like God. And we read in Genesis 3 that the soul fell. Male and female, Adam and Eve, fell. And all of us now inhabit those fallen souls. Now, throughout the New Testament, or Old Testament, that is, we read comments about the soul, the nephesh. Job 21, verse 25, another man dies in bitterness of soul, never enjoying anything good. But it's clear in Genesis 3 that there's a promise of redemption. And throughout the whole Old Testament, we see prophets and priests and kings. Hebrews 11 talks about the heroes of faith, faith in God. You're justified. Abraham, justified by faith, brought healing to the nephesh, the soul. And we read about King David, who was a man after God's own heart. David was a man about the soul. And this word nephesh appears so many times in the book of Psalm. Psalm 23. He restores my soul. Psalm 62, verse 5, rest. Rest, find rest, O my soul, in God alone my soul, my hope comes from Him. One of St. Augustine's most famous quotes, and I might be quoting it again, get ready, is, my soul finds no rest until it rests in Thee. And that is the human situation. People can be looking for so much. So these soul centers are about people finding rest for their souls. We also see in the Old Testament ministry to even your own soul. Psalm 131, verse 2. But I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Proverbs 24, verse 14. Know also that wisdom is sweet to the soul. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. I want to end the Old Testament. This is a very brief study. I just want you to realize and get the depth of how the soul, nephesh, is used. And there's so many instances. And I've had the privilege of doing a major study of the instances of the Old Testament and then the New Testament word for soul. And you see this, it affects you. But one of the most emotional pieces of the Old Testament comes where soul is mentioned about Jesus. After the suffering of his soul, this is him on the cross, he will see the light of life. He will be resurrected and be satisfied. And by his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. So when we hear, and he was pierced for our transgressions, his very soul, his body was pierced, his spirit was crushed, God forsook him, his Father turned his back on his own Son to pay for our sins. His soul suffered so that our souls would be redeemed and raised to life again. So what started out as a devastating sentence against souls who bodily and in spirit went against God in the Garden of Eden. Jesus Christ with a crushed soul, a pierced body, redeemed and saved us from destruction. So the Old Testament is a place that puts in focus the soul and why we are to take it important, why it is something that is so foundational for understanding the soul center. And next we're going to talk about the New Testament and how the soul is talked about there. But it is the same in the Old and New Testament as living souls, fallen, needing a Savior whose suffering soul, Jesus Christ, bore on Himself all of our sins, that our souls might be redeemed and set free to live and breathe now and forever, bodily, spiritually, wholly. We belong to God. How awesome it is in soul centers are places where people have these kinds of discussions to quiet their souls, to find healing, to find life. So the Old Testament has the verses of souls, and we'll find next just how the New Testament understands the word soul.